Welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you, here with Brandon Irwin and Jessica Kerr, some Manhattan local professionals who protested the healthcare legislation in the Senate on July 19th. Got a lot of great calls earlier. And again, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to add to the conversation, give us a call, 75-537-1350. And I just kind of want to get kind of caught back up to what you guys did in D.C. and the protesting. And you were just surrounded by a lot of folks. You guys got handcuffed for a little bit. You got some citations. Talk about those protests at the Senate offices and kind of what happened there.
Yeah, we were paired with a delegation from Maine. It was Brandon, myself, Nate, and then several nurses from National Nurses United, as well as some folks from Maine who would be visiting Susan Collins's office. And, you know, we just kind of entered the Senate buildings and had a game plan of the offices that we would stop by. And, you know, our primary goal, this is prior to the votes happening, were to ask a couple of questions. So to ask to see the senator and then, you know, ask about if they would cast their vote to ensure that more people would be insured, that they would be able to be insured for less cost, that individuals with pre-existing conditions, regardless of age, race, gender, or income would receive high quality and accessible care. And so we had this kind of list of questions that we would ask. In most cases, I mean, in Brandon's case, Senator Roberts locked his door and he was...
I was just about to ask you about that process. Everybody imagines going up to their senator or representative's office. And is it just as simple like, knock on a door and you can walk in typically?
Yeah pretty much.
And I mean, it was a regular business day. It was Wednesday. And so there's a bunch of young interns sitting kind of in the foyer to the office. And there were some individuals waiting for meetings. And we just kind of came in and we asked if we could see the senator. You're having 170 people arrested in the Senate building. They know about this ahead of time. This is a fair amount of pageantry for kind of media and impact and scale. So this was not something that was like completely surprising. I don't think that individuals in those offices knew how many people would be participating. There were 500 people that participated the day that we were there in all of the offices and in other weeks past. There were just targeted offices or individuals that they were concerned with their vote. But in this case, we were visiting all of them. It's a bit of a kind of on both parts, like who knows what's going to happen. But it's kind of protocol. Like you said, like even the police officers knew that this would all be happening.
They did. And Jess, the first office we went to was Senator Moran's. And we were, we think, among the first groups of the entire 170 people who got arrested, who were arrested. And so I think Jess and one of the a woman who she was with, they might have been the first people arrested. And it was interesting the Capitol Police's response to this first sort of demonstration in Senator Moran's office, because they didn't know, it was clear they didn't really know like how many people were going to be like in each office. So basically they just sent the kitchen sink, you know, to the first office. There must have been, you know, 20 60, officers yeah. outside of the office for basically two people. But I'm sure they figured out how to allocate their resources more efficiently.
And is there like a receptionist in like the senator's office? Like it's kind of an office within an office, right?
Yeah, it's their staffers.
Yeah, right. Students who are doing internships are kind of the receptionists. And, you know, the legal team that we had worked with prior to going there was pretty specific about like what this process needed to look like. There was an amazing nurse who was with us from Olathe, who was a labor and delivery nurse in Kansas City. And she had a prepared statement that she read that was just so incredibly powerful about her inability to service her patients, particularly women who are coming in, you know, in their seventh and eighth month of their pregnancies, and have just not been able to afford care up until this point. And this becomes both a staffing issue in terms of the lack of nursing staff that are available to serve these patients, as well as the insurance infrastructure that kind of disallows the individuals to receive services outside of kind of more catastrophic care. And she just described this heart-wrenching day-to-day lived experience of what it's like to work in this industry.
Brady Bowman here with Brandon Irwin and Jessica Kerr, some local professionals who protested healthcare, and well, you didn't protest healthcare, you protested healthcare legislation. Mm. In D.C. in the middle of July, and I'm sure there were others from Kansas as well, that were not just you and Nate from Manhattan, but were there others from around the state as well?
There was at least one or two. One was a woman from, I think she was from Topeka, is that right? Mm-hmm. And she was also part of the Nurses Association. But other than that, I'm not sure if there were more from Kansas.
And going back to some of that training you kind of went through, and you spoke with legal teams before you went and protested, and I'm sure a lot of that is just for everybody's kind of general safety, because sometimes, I mean, these are very passionate issues.
For sure. And give people an idea, there were many people there who were compelled to come to D.C. because this legislation would directly impact them. So we're talking about people who are using mobility devices, such as wheelchairs and scooters, have pretty intense feeding tube and breathing apparatus that they need to live and support their life. And they were at the kind of the front lines of this movement to be visible as to individuals who would be impacted by removing these layers of care.
And looking at things kind of now, obviously we talked at the top of the hour that legislation, that bill really fell apart, and now things are really just kind of in this limbo of what's the state of healthcare now? Because that's, I think you guys said at the top of the hour, there are legitimate concerns with the Affordable Care Act, with Obamacare, and areas that it can be a lot better. Mm-hmm. Well, where do you guys kind of see things now?
Well, in the immediate future, I think a priority is to stabilize these marketplaces. You know, you've got a bunch of insurance companies who are getting essentially, you know, the subsidies to insure, you know, high risk, what they would consider high risk,
pools,
yeah. Right? And all of the talk coming out of Washington, particularly the White House, is really destabilizing these marketplaces. You know, you've got insurance companies not knowing whether or not they're going to get the subsidies that they've, you know, essentially negotiated or even demanded from our federal government to provide the insurance to these folks. And so so one of them is actually happening right in our backyard. We were just in Kansas City last weekend for another healthcare protest, and the Blue Cross Blue Shield, this is actually on the Missouri side, but they have, from what I understand, they've just declared that they are pulling out of Missouri. They are pulling out of several counties in Missouri where they are the only insurance provider in those counties. And a huge part of the reason why is because they are uncertain about what is going to happen to their subsidies, these risk corridors, and that is a disaster, and we have to do something about that now. We have to do it soon.
So Brandon and I have become more and more educated about healthcare policy. I mean, we really came at this from a much more like community development, public health standpoint. But as a result of this trip to D.C., we're really having to learn a fair amount about the technicalities of this industry. And, you know, I come at it from much more of just a human vitality standpoint, in the sense that, you know, if we can go down this kind of rabbit hole as to, you know, markets and, sure, and exchanges and all of this. But, you know, one of the things that I heard as a common refrain when I was in DC is that people don't necessarily want to engage with a market in order to realize their life, you know, and flourish. And so, you know, kind of, beefing up systems of care that are available, and ultimately that became a refrain of single payer health insurance. There's a lot of different ways that can be organized and is organized across the globe. But just imagining how we'd be able to potentially realize our life without necessarily having to say, like, oh, you know, we have to pay these huge subsidies to these private industries. You know, ultimately that this could be Medicaid expansion and some other kind of federally funded market-based insurance agency. But just people don't want to do this. They want to be able to live their life and flourish and take care of their families and do their job and maybe even enjoy themselves a little bit.
You know, it kind of goes back to one of our first callers. And again, just a reminder, if you guys want to add to the conversation while you're out there listening, 785-537-1350 is the number to call. I remember one of those earlier callers we had this morning talking about sick care and the differences there. And it kind of goes back to that personal responsibility. And, you know, we'll retouch on that. We'll go to a break and we'll come back with that discussion right here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air.